Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of The Neil Haley Show and Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface. And I'm excited to welcome the program, my co-host, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And as I said before, I'm dealing with some stuff here in Pennsylvania. We're about to shut down again, and it really doesn't matter. It's not really a big deal, but it's really horrible for the economy.
Yeah, that's right. And there's so many reasons why we should not go to this draconian type of thing that's happening with shutting down and forcing people to stay at home and all that kind of stuff. But we can talk about that on another program.
Okay, we have a great guest again. So introduce our guest.
Yeah, our guest today is Dr. Mark Hayden. He's a medical doctor, licensed physician, who graduated from a Class A medical school, meaning the University of Alabama School of Medicine, and he's a scientific medical researcher. We've had him on the show several times in the past, and I would recommend that you come back to his previous shows and listen to them because they are very good. Today's show is, what plan is better than the current RNA vaccines? And Mark, it's nice to have you back with us.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying that the RNA vaccines, and there are a couple of them that are rapidly getting ready to come onto the market, are problematic in certain ways. And that in the past, you have recommended oral inoculation, which has better theoretical things in reference to the RNA vaccine. So could you kind of not go into the detail that you went into before, but summarize for the people the difference between oral inoculation and this intramuscular RNA vaccine?
Sure, I'd be glad to. First of all, we have to look at how the goal of inoculation is really to protect us from future disease. We have two goals. Number one, to protect ourselves from future disease, the person who's inoculated. And number two is to prevent that from being transmitted to other people. Now, one of the things that comes up is to prevent it from being transmitted to other people, we have to look at how that virus is transmitted. And to be real simple, we have to imagine it growing in our lungs. Our lungs have a very large surface area, almost, I think it's like 200 square yards or 200 square meters. And that's so that we can absorb oxygen. Well, they're very thin so that they can absorb oxygen. And yet that is a large surface area that if that virus gets there and begins to grow, it can be, if we speak or make noise, we can vibrate it and it will become an aerosol. So we know that it really spreads as a respiratory virus. Now, most of the coronaviruses were also enteric too. In other words, they infected the intestinal tract. But in reality, we've never seen a single person, a single human being, get a respiratory infection from another person's stool, even though it is in the stool and you can measure it in the stool. That's just not the way it's transmitted. I remember, you know, years ago, HIV was, people were worried about getting it off the toilet seat. You don't get it off the toilet seat. You only get coronavirus when people speak and it goes through the air. So right now, the intramuscular vaccines produced serum blood stream, IgA and IgG, but they were never shown to produce mucosal IgA that would protect the lungs. And so what we came out with this word that was suddenly called effective. You remember hearing that? Hey, guess what? It's 90% effective. You heard that, hadn't you, Wynn?
Of course.
And that's like, well, let's get specific. What do you mean by effective? They didn't come out and say that. What they really meant by that is it would reduce the death rate of the person who was infected, the probability of death, by about 90% or 95%. But is that stopping that person from being able to spread? They hadn't even mentioned that. They didn't say it was effective at stopping that person from being able to spread. And so really when the Pfizer's vaccine comes out and says, hey, it's an RNA vaccine. We don't know the long-term and medium-term side effects. We're going to give it to a high-risk crowd that has a high mortality rate because of their age. And hey, guess what? Fewer of those percentage of people will die. And on the surface, that seems pretty reasonable. I mean, you know, in a very high risk groups, people that are 90 years old, people in a nursing home, and nursing home patients only have 2 or 3 years of life expectancy. So, you know, that seems fairly reasonable that if somebody has a very short life expectancy, do they really even have to worry about long-term side effects? Not as much as somebody might have 5 or 10 years of life expectancy. So Pfizer is really getting targeted primarily to the high risk groups as a messenger RNA vaccine. And that is what we're seeing. And really Pfizer, the media loves to send that message out that, hey, guess what? Wall Street has figured it all out. Wall Street's going to save us. Let the stock market go up and hey, Pfizer, the big company, has saved us all, but that's not the case. They don't have anything effective right now at preventing that person who's 90 years old or a nursing home patient from spreading it to the person right next to them. And so we don't have a safe, effective vaccine for people that are 30 and 40 years old. And I certainly hope they don't start experimenting with messenger RNA Pfizer vaccine on middle-aged people or younger people. So that would be a whole different ballgame than using it on these high-risk people with very short life expectancies.
Well, Moderna, the results of their clinical studies are not final until late in 2022.
Yes.
So and we don't really know about safety issues.
You got that right on the head. And if you remember when Moderna came out back in March and April and May of this year, you know, they came on TV and said, we're going to have enough. We can make billions and billions of doses. And then Moderna comes out and says, oh, by the way, we won't finish our studies for another year or 2 years. That's really Moderna's way of creating an excuse of not having a safe, viable, effective vaccine. And so when we look at that, we can really tell that Moderna, the people at Moderna, at least have enough ethics to come up with an excuse. So they've got an excuse for not having a vaccine out, but that's because their own data is probably telling them that it's not safe. Does that make sense?
That's scary to know, right?
Well, you know,
force people to take this vaccine, maybe.
Yeah, but you got to remember these are for-profit companies, and if our retirement benefits, and I get it, I mean that's Moderna's worth tens of billions of dollars at one point, like $60 billion in stock price. So I can understand why they don't want to be candid about the failings of their own vaccine. And Moderna keeps a lot of its information proprietary, secret. So I don't think you're going to see a Moderna distributed. I think that's a bunch of hot air. I think right now, Pfizer this month will probably get permission from the CDC to inoculate people that are high risk of death and that have short life expectancies. And that's because the CDC recognizes that we don't know the medium and long-term side effects. And that's certainly prudent. So I think that right now we don't have a big vaccine choice. Thank goodness there is some restraint by CDC about allowing these other vaccines out. So right now, if you're middle-aged, the only vaccine that you could get that would protect you from spreading it with 99% accuracy is to get inoculation to your intestines. And that same inoculation to your intestines would also be about 99% effective at preventing not just death of the person, but at having severe side effects. We don't see severe side effects in people who take inoculation, which is, you know, when you get the Pfizer shot in your arm, it's not a walk in the park. Apparently these people get fever and some chills, they get some body aches. It's not like getting a flu shot, especially for people that have a more active immune system. So some of the worst immune reactions are going to be in the younger people. Older people, real sluggish immune system, they barely wake up when you give them something in their arm. So, you know, it's the Pfizer vaccine is going to have a limited application in a select crowd. I think that's what you're going to see.
Well, Mark, Operation Warp Speed rejected oral coronavirus inoculation based on something about animal studies with animals like chickens infected with coronavirus. And they think, well, it's in their intestine, in their feces, and it could be a problem. What do you say about that?
You know, when the coronavirus epidemic came out, you remember Donald Trump met and he said, hey, we're going to have it specially managed Operation Warp Speed by the military. And then the military they had to turn to experts in the field of virology. And one of the things you'd try to do is, we know that coronaviruses as a group do infect the intestinal tracts of animals, all kinds of animals. And in most cases, they're very mild. The exception to that, to coronaviruses being mild in animals, is in chickens raised in chicken houses. I'm not a big fan of how they raise chickens in chicken houses. They pack them together side by side, tens of thousands in as small amount of area as possible. The food mixes with stool, and so the stool that has the virus is mixing with their food, and they're all kicking it up in the air. And so they can actually aerosolize it and then inhale it in the chicken factory. But what happens with humans is real different. We're not barnyard animals. We're clean human beings. And no matter which society you look at around the world, I've not seen anybody in any culture anywhere who packs themselves tightly into a room where they mix their stool with feces and throw it in the air. But unfortunately, that's the life of a chicken. And in a modern chicken house. And I thank God humans are not that way. So we don't see stool to respiratory transfer in humans. Now that argument actually came up that, oh my goodness, we can't encourage oral inoculation because it might infect all these people out in the public. Well, guess what? That doesn't happen. There's not one case of people getting a respiratory version because somebody's having it in their intestines. It's never happened, never been documented, despite tens of millions of cases. And so that was a rationale for not using the live coronavirus. That was probably the strongest rationale. And it was a false argument that really had it been openly debated, that would have been shot down. I had actually presented, I had asked to present to Operation Warp Speed. They had said, oh, guess what? But you know, Operation Warp Speed, who had their ear, were the big corporate people. The big people at corporate that get, that pay the lobbyists, they're the people who get heard first. Money talks. And in our society, money talks louder than the truth. Sometimes the answers are so simple that, guess what? If nobody's going to get rich out of it, if nobody's going to get a big paycheck, that truth will get drowned out. That truth won't be spoken. So that the other people who make lots of money, who claim to be quote, quote, experts, so that they can have their time. And that's what we've had. We've had 9 months. Actually, we've, this started, what, 10 months? Almost 10 months of them not having a effective vaccine that is safe and effective for the vast majority of people. We see some vaccines coming out now that are going to be more widespread. I think you'll see the adenovirus vaccines that have the spike, that have the spike protein. I think you're going to see a lot of those. And those tend to be safer than the messenger RNA. You're going to see some countries doing that. But by far, still, the safest player was still the oral gut inoculation using a live coronavirus. And that is really what they ignored based on financial and political reasons.
Mark, I wanted to mention the fact that there is a safe drug, an effective drug, that the spin has been totally against, and that is hydroxychloroquine. One of the epidemiologists at Yale said that if doctors were allowed to prescribe hydroxychloroquine to all the patients that had coronavirus early on, that we would wipe out the epidemic in a month. But why is it that nobody is willing to give our people a chance when there is good evidence that is safe, good evidence that's effective? And is the only reason because hydroxychloroquine may cost $12 for a treatment and some of the big pharma drugs might cost $1,200 for a treatment?
You know, here's a problem that we have in the American scientific community. Once the money begins to influence the decision makers, you can't, it becomes very difficult to find the truth. We don't have any laws that prohibit somebody working at the CDC or FDA from flipping over and after the, and retiring or else moving straight from their government job straight over to industry. And that actually happens. So we don't have real clear ethical boundaries in the U.S. academic slash scientific industry. They blend together. The profit making and the scientific all gets mixed together in this big culture that as long as everybody's making money hand over fist, the big information will get controlled by those people. And we've seen that. We've seen that throughout this COVID epidemic. More money, enormous amount of money, is slung at these issues based on politics, based on, not but really based on science. Even if you look at the mask issue, look at the mask issue. We had a study come out. You mentioned that to me, the Danish study.
Yeah.
That masks are no more effective than no mask. And yet that got argued. How long did that get argued? That went on for what, 10 months? And now still, if you don't wear a mask, you're considered politically inappropriate. And if you look at the politicians who do wear masks, you'll see that every Democrat wears a mask when he's photoed, and many of the Republicans won't. These things wind up being split right along political lines. And the problem is that we don't have clear boundaries between the industry and the scientific community. They become mixed together. And then you can't get to the truth because there's bias. Once bias comes in that room, that bias is going to start to affect the analysis of information. Remember the thing about, does it spread by an aerosol? It took what? The FDA came out and wanted to treat it like it was a regular respiratory pathogen, like flu. They wanted to deny that it's an aerosol for what, 10 months? Then finally, oh, by the way, yes, we will mention that it is an aerosol. These are things that are based on political needs. And when people's health is at risk, that's sad. It's sad, but you know, that really goes back into medicine. Do you remember practicing when they'd send the drug reps around to the doctor's office? They'd buy the staff a bunch of food or pay for a dinner. They try to tell them, come up with some good information and say, hey, prescribe our drug. They would try to influence the physicians any which way possible. A lot of times it was monetary. We forbade that. Now there are laws that prevent that. We haven't done those laws for the CDC and FDA. We should have had very, very strict laws that you can't use any type of financial incentives to influence somebody from the CDC or FDA. We don't have them. And that's why it's very difficult to get to the bottom, to get to the accurate truth on a lot of issues.
Well, this program is about a plan that is better than the current plan using RNA vaccines. And that's a plan that you researched and you...
Yes, that's exactly right. It was ironic that I was probably the first human being to ever deliberately infect themselves with an live oral agent. However, now we see a company called Vaxart, V-A-X-A-R-T, and they are advocating an oral COVID vaccine that will be inexpensive. And one of the things I like about the Vaxart program is it's going to be an oral. They chose adenovirus as their carrier virus. It's going to be an adenovirus that it will encode the spike protein. And that will be swallowed orally, and that will stimulate the mucosal defense. But if you go to the Vaxart website, many of the things that I talked about 5-6 months ago are actually the same ideas that Vaxart is promoting, taking an oral vaccine to protect your mucosa, that you'll have a robust protection of the surface of your lungs. You will not transmit. And you will have very low side effects. Now, this is funny. I mean, I guess it's not funny. It's probably tragic. I did that before Vaxart. And I wanted to present to Operation Warp Speed. I had actually sent them emails, but they never would schedule the final presentation. And I was considered a little bit of a crackpot, too aggressive, he won't go along with the mainstream. They wouldn't even let me present because part of them understood that if I was right, then a lot of them were wrong. And the less evidence of that they had, the better off they'd be. But Vaxart hasn't done a single human study. So the best vaccine right now that any for-profit vaccine company came out with would, in my opinion, be Vaxart. They haven't done a single study on humans. That's awful because they had the best product, and yet they're one of the last people to even move forward and get human tested. But then there was Pfizer who did messenger RNA, and that's what the first one that's going to roll out this month. Pfizer had no knowledge of what the medium and long-term risk of the RNA vaccines are, and they're going to confine it right now initially to their high-risk patients in the U.S. And thank God they are reducing who they give it to. But by far, if I had to choose anybody, it should have been Vaxart that got the go-ahead to do human testing. But if you're not politically connected, you don't get the money, you don't get the attention. And proof of that is right there in the Pfizer vaccine. You know, Pfizer actually did not develop their messenger RNA vaccine. They got it from a German company. I think it's Bio something. They got it from a subsidiary company. Pfizer likely went to the German company and said, look, if you don't play with us, with our political pull, with our, we got the political grease to make it happen, and we'll give you a small amount of the profits, maybe 10, 20% on the dollar. You'll see that the people who actually invented the messenger RNA of the Pfizer, they don't get the lion's share of the profits. They don't get the lion's share of the revenue. Instead, the revenue will go to the middlemen, which are Pfizer, who will have the connections down there at the CDC to make it happen. So really, you get into, there are lots of smart people in the United States, some very dedicated people in different fields. And America has some great minds, and they're great minds around the world. But that alone won't get you past all these layers of red tape to get your idea moving forward. If you don't have the right political grease, the connections.
Exactly.
They try to. Yes. And that's the way things roll.
I mean, it's big money. It's big money. We talked about just based on the price of what HCQ costs compared to what they're treating people
with. That's right.
And it's about,
and you know, if you're right, Neil. I mean, if hydroxychloroquine had cost $1,000 a week, they would have their whole legal, political grease machine working the CDC. But that's not going to, you know, guess what? That's that ain't going to happen. And
not political, it's, you know, money. It's both,
it's
sides.
About the money.
It's money.
That's right.
Money talks at the end of the day. I mean, the shutdown is going to help the stock market go for certain stocks. Go ahead, buy Walmart now, buy Target now, buy Zoom now, buy everything online, buy tech, and don't, and know that, because these small businesses and restaurants. So basically, if you have a lot of money, you can make a lot more money because you pretty much have know the prediction in the next 6 months what the economy is going to do.
That's it. You got it. So, it's about, so, yeah.
So Mark, we've done programs with you before where you've told about your intestinal inoculation, and they can go back and listen to that. But can you give the people who are listening today the skinny on how that could be accomplished today?
Yes. You know, there are some difficulties with getting access. Let's say if you're in the same household. Actually, you are. Neil, you mentioned your wife.
Yes, she
tested positive, right?
No, she's not tested positive. Okay. She's about to go get a test, but we're all in the same house. And it's like, but we're going to do a fast-acting test instead of wait 3 days. Yeah.
That's right. You know, if your wife is positive and if she wears a face mask, if she's positive, then that means that antigen is being blown up, vibrated off her lungs and blown up into her mouth and nose. And the nasal swab or the PCR will pick up either the antigen, or else in a PCR test, it'll pick up some of the messenger RNA, which would be a nucleic acid test, to check and see, is it blowing up to her mouth? Now, she may be actually... She may actually be asymptomatic. We won't use her first name. Is she having any symptoms?
No, she just has certain symptoms of no taste, no body aches, but no fever. Yeah.
I would say that with that lack of smell, she's definitely, that would probably be a dead, I mean, it is highly likely that she's infected. And because usually that is a very strange symptom. Ordinary people just don't get a sudden loss of smell like you get with the coronavirus infection. And so she's probably going to be infected. Now, will her PCR turn positive? It may not have turned positive yet. It may be in a few days, or may have already turned positive, and she just didn't pick it up at the right time. So there's probably a lot more exposure out there in the community than we really even know about.
There's a tremendous, but yes, we could probably burn it out, as you talked about on another program in February or March, because we're not going to follow the rules regardless of what they're doing.
That's right. So Neil, when you're there with your wife, you know, I assume y'all have been married, what, 5 years?
20 plus years. But here's the thing, Mark, and this is the big point is, again, we social distance at this point and different times, craziness with kids and all that stuff. But my take in all this is that the people that are, we really need to do better studies on the number of people that really severely go to the hospital. And we need to protect those people. And that's not shut down the economy. And that's what President Trump was trying to do. But now with the flu, everyone has flu symptoms too. And we know, so there's just so much to go on, but it's going to be awful in many ways. And the vaccine might not do it, as your prediction is, Dr. Mark, it might not do it. So we'll have to find out. But what you're saying is basically her wearing a mask, if she does test positive or tries to quarantine, it's too late. It's already been spread. Everyone could be infected. There's really nothing that we could do.
In this particular case, if she's positive, what can they do inside their home to...
You know, if your spouse is positive, you can take their mask off if they're speaking and actually wash their mask off and use it like a tea. If any of that virus is in that mask, it's water soluble. It'll come right out into the water and you can actually drink it. You don't damage yourself by exposing that virus to your intestinal tract. Now, in other countries, you can actually, if you're a physician or a medical person or a university, academic institution, you could actually culture the virus and you could put it in frozen capsules to give it out to people. And that is really something that could be done in most countries of the world inexpensively. And because this is heard around the world, that is a very important low-cost option for people in countries around the world, is to take the virus, culture it, grow it, and put it in a frozen capsule and swallow it in an enteric coated capsule. And that is probably the safest, best vaccine or actually inoculation out there. So yes, these are doable things. These are not, you can actually, if you look at a culture of that virus, you can increase the number of live virus particles 1,000-fold in 12 hours. That means that in 3 or 4 days, you could go from 1,000 virus particles to trillions and trillions of them. So it's easy to grow under the right conditions. And those conditions are actually published at the CDC. I'll probably put them up on my website. I don't encourage anybody who, one of the fears is that if you have live virus and people that are not ethical, they'll use it for some sort of bioterrorism. I wouldn't have a problem helping somebody who is a physician from another country. I wouldn't want people without any knowledge of virus or without clean. I wouldn't want somebody who intends to harm other people to ever grow billions or trillions of virus. That would not be a good idea. So, but should that be available, that's still the best, safest method. We know that at least 60 million cases, and that's proven 60, there's probably 8 times that, or 480 million people worldwide have been infected and have some degree of IgA protection. Almost all those people are getting their mucosal defense from mucosal exposure. So we know it's very safe to expose to your mucosa as long as you're not inhaling. So, you know, once again, it's very much like water. Water is safe to drink, it's safe to swallow, It's safe to put in our food and swallow our food that has water, but we don't inhale water. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to inhale that virus all the way down to our alveolus. Okay.
Wow.
Well, Mark, thanks for the information today. And like I said, they can go back to my podcast and hear more of what you had to say previously. So is anything else that you want to leave with us before we wrap up today?
You know, Wynn, it's just been great to meet you and to talk to you. I loved our series of articles I did with you and Neil. I've enjoyed speaking with you. A lot of times, initially, these things really sounded out of the box, very atypical, some of the things I proposed and some of the things I did. But, you know, over time, the truth will win. Even though the money talked in the room loudest, the truth will come out. And a year or two or three from now, we'll see that many of these things like aerosol spread, we'll see that that face masks are not effective. We'll see that much wider accepted. And we'll see that, guess what? Inoculation to the gut is the best way. And how we respond, eventually the truth wins. And I appreciate you, Neil, and I appreciate you, Wynn, for getting out and spreading that truth and getting people to. We are not slaves. You know, I live at times throughout the United States. We used to have slavery, real slavery, where people were beaten, sold at market in the U.S. One of the things the slave master did was he decided what the medical policy would be for his slaves. He decides whether they got medical treatment or didn't get medical treatment. We're not slaves. We're individuals that think, that can make decisions for ourselves. And you know, the most important thing that God gave us was a mind so that we can study and search for the truth. And Neil and Wynn, I think you're a part of that search for the truth. And I thank both of you.
All right. Well, fantastic. Great show, Wynn. I know you want to add your final point to today's episode.
Well, I wanted for Mark to tell the people who are listening today how they can contact him. And also to tell the people that hear this program that one of the things that you as a personal individual can do to help is to share this broadcast with as many people as you can, because the more people that know the truth, the better off we're going to be as a society. And the podcast can be listened to, it's free, on www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, and no caps and no spaces. And Mark, tell them how, if they want to talk to you, how that might be accomplished.
You know, when, as if they go to your website, they can go over some of the issues that I got involved in. I did apparently two patent applications in COVID. And one of the websites that I operate is antivirusair.com. You can contact me there through Antivirus Air. I also operated digestivecovid.com. You could get in touch with me through those. And if you would like me to, if you review the documents on your website and then have further questions, if you want me to speak about it, they can contact you. And we could at some point probably do a we can even take some questions from the audience at some point if you want. Originally, I was very, very afraid that I would be retaliated against by my professional body, the people that control medical license. However, many of the ideas that I initially proposed 6 months, 8 months ago, they're kind of moving toward the mainstream now. And so I don't think, I think they're going to be more and more accepted. I don't think they're going to be able to suppress the truth that long. So they can get in touch. They can contact me at www.digestedcovid.com or the antivirusair.com and, or get in touch with me through Neil or the other ways.
Okay.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks for being on our show today, Mark. You always deliver.
Well, it's great to be with y'all.
Right. And, yeah. Awesome. Very good show. Again, it was a great simulcast of your, Freedom of Prediction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And take care, everybody.
Y'all too.